and about the idea behind the development of Machlokas. I know this wasn't specifically what we did, mm-hmm. but I know last time we talked about more why he's wealthy.
Right. Meaning in terms of what's the cause of Machlokas.
Because there's some more people I was talking to that were adamant about saying that it was because of the loss of information.
Oh, so they want to say that we actually lost stuff.
Well, and
that's the cause of Machlokas.
Right, exactly. Like, we lost. Exactly.
Right. So their theory is the reason why you have so much Machlokas in the Gemara is that they lost stuff. So then they needed to have a debate over what the halacha was. So saying they lost it means they once had it.
Right.
And then they had to. They knew that there must be a halacha in this area.
Right.
So they had to debate on that particular point.
Right. Exactly. And they try and want to give an argument by saying at Sinai, there were no machlokasim. And then, like the first machlokas they said was this week in the parsha, like last week in the parsha, like you have Aaron. Like you have an argument about what is the.
So they're saying they forgot something? So they want to say that in the case in last week's parsha, when Aaron and Moshe argued over what the halacha was, they want to say what happened was that Moshe forgot.
Right.
So what was the machlokas then? In other words, one person remembered and one person forgot.
Right,
but that wouldn't be their. But then that wouldn't be their case. Their case is where everyone forgets.
There's
a machlokas because they're not sure. Because the Rambam makes it's hard to say the Rambam made an excellent point. You know, can't really. But Rambam said. I mean, basically, you can't. He says it's meguna. It's a sick thing to say that machlokas is based on that they forgot something. Right? So, and basically, there's a simple reason why. It's not because it's impossible that people forgot stuff. People did forget things.
Right.
There's no question that things were forgotten.
Right.
But the machlokas can never be caused by forgetting. Because that would imply in other words, if one person forgot, and one person, in other words, then there couldn't be a machlokas, because the person would have to admit, I don't know the halacha. In other words, it's one thing to say people forget, but then to say that they're not going to admit to the fact that they forgot and argue about it. In other words, you can't have that one guy remembers it one way.
Right.
And in other words, machlokas can't be that one guy remembers it one way and one guy remembers it another way, and that's why you have a machlokas. Because in other words, if they forgot or if they weren't sure, they would admit to that.
Right.
And also there's a general rule in the Gemara. If anybody says, I received this as a tradition, debate stops immediately.
Right.
So you can't have, in other words, so you can't have a debate because one guy forgot the halacha and one guy remembered the halacha. Right? In other words, that becomes nonsensical. I would admit to such a thing, that there could be, they forgot a halacha, and now there's a machlokas because they have to derive the halacha using one of the 13, using one of the 13 principles of derivation.
Right?
So there could be a machlokas. But you can't have a machlokas, which, in other words, that's the only way that forgetting could be the cause of machlokas.
Right, I guess maybe that is what he's saying. Because he's saying, like, for example, like we have all these facts, we have all the halachas,
right.
And then we induce what the general halacha category is. Like, through all those, we have all these halachas,
right.
And then we try to find a common theme, and then we induce a general principle. A legal principle, which can be expressed in lots of different facts. Like
right,
you have lots of different facts. So if you want to say like the reason why that you have, there really is only one legal principle.
Right.
Like as far as back at Sinai, there was only one legal principle, but we forgot different facts. So that's basically going to change the way that the induction works. So, such as to say, like, let's say you have 10 facts and then you lose 2 of them. Therefore, your principle in which you extract out is going to be different because you've lost 2 of those cases. And maybe one of those cases slightly hinders the way that general principle is removed. So he want to say that machlokas develops through basically, he agrees that you lose facts. And therefore, the principles which you extract are different from back at Sinai. Like the reason why, so he's saying that like that you have Sinai and there's no machloksim. Uh-huh. Why? Because everyone everyone would extract
right.
the same principle, but now that you lose facts, now you're having different guiding print. Now you have two potential principles. Also, question we raised: why wouldn't you just have? Why would they agree on that one principle again? You just have fewer facts. Yeah.
In other words, right? That would flow naturally from his assumption. If he's saying. He's saying it's about that they had certain amounts of facts. They
right.
forget a fact.
Right.
And then basically the way it works is you make an induction from the facts.
Right.
And then you... But if they all have the same facts, then basically... Right, because that was his assumption by Arsenius, then they should always make the same
right.
induction.
Right.
Right? So, but also there's a question, in other words, did they receive... In other words, is Tershav al Peh... In other words, what is meant by that when he says facts? In other words, what would be a fact? What would be an example of a fact? Did they receive facts, or did they receive principles? In other words, which one of the two was received? In other words, what would be a fact according to that person?
Right.
Right. In other words, we need an example.
Right.
Right. Also, it's difficult to talk about this area in from that perspective. In other words, because what would be the case? In other words, give me a case where such a thing. Give me a practical case that would be in line with that theory. In other words, where you have, you know, it's saying they're facts, and basically the way halacha works is you induct a principle out of those facts, and then so if you forget facts, right, so then you would have a different process of induction going on,
right?
Right, but is that how the halachic system works? Right?
Right.
So, in other words, I need to know more specifics. What do they mean by a fact? Right?
Right.
So you're saying a fact is what?
Something you have to do. Like a certain legal, something that someone would have to do.
So fact would be someone must do something.
Something like that, yeah. Right.
So what would be what induction would you need to do? In other words, if you have a normative, if you have a normative statement, right? So that's a normative statement, right? In other words, it's a prescriptive, right? Saying one must do such and such.
Right.
So where's the what induction is necessary there? In other words, where is it necessary to induct a principle? In other words, that seems to be the principle itself. In other words, what would be an example would be. You must sit, you know, dwell in a sukkah for 7 days, right? So is that the normative statement? In other words, that's the fact, right? That's it. What induction is necessary?
Right, there would be none.
Doesn't seem like an induction is necessary. The only thing that could be necessary are clarifications there.
Right.
What is sitting? What is dwelling? Right? What does it mean, yeshiva basukka? So give, you know, so we need to, in other words, we need to sub-specify and define this normative statement, right, which says you must dwell in sukkahs for 7 days. Okay, so what is dwelling, right? What precisely is that? And we'll define, right? But it doesn't sound like we're getting facts and inducting something, right? I don't see the induction. Right, I'm not saying that there couldn't be such a thing, but in other words, that case doesn't be. In other words, discuss that person, what that person said, so they have to give me an example. So then, you know, from the example, then we could work it out. Maybe they have something. Maybe they're saying something true. But right. So there might be something there. But it seems, in other words, we have prescriptive statements, right, and which are clarifications of what the mitzvah is. And then there are times where you might not know what the halacha is. So we have a system of learning it out, of how to learn out from a pasuk, in other words, or from psukim, what the halacha is in cases where we don't know what the halacha is. And there, because that's subject to our judgment, in other words, it's subject to to debate. It's something that you're, in other words, it's something that you have to work out. So there could be debate. So, and that's where machlokas arises. But when you have a Sanhedrin, then you gotta, it works out nicely, because they simply vote,
right,
and whatever the majority says becomes the halacha.
Right? Yeah,
right? Right. So as long as you have a Sanhedrin, there is no machlokas, and there never was machlokas. In other words, standing machlokas, in other words, based in itself, they could argue, right? But once, it was only till the time of Shammai and Hillel, when, in other words, when the Sanhedrin was outlawed by the government, that you start having machlokas, where machlokas increases amongst B'nai Yisrael. Right?
That's what, yeah, you always, more than one, as far as logically, you could always have a second possibility. Right.
Always because have a. In other words, in terms of the learning, using those logical principles to learn out the meaning of the psukim.
Right, like when you learn these general
right.
legal principles, like you can learn, you can extract more than one.
Right, it seems precise how to apply those.
Right.
You get different arguments on how to apply it. But if you have a received tradition,
right.
there's no argumentation.
Right.
Right. In other words, I could in study, of course, I could always seek. What are the deeper principles, right? What are the principles which unify halachos, which explain them, right? But that won't arise in machlokas. What arises in is clarification,
right.
The opposite of machlokas, right? In other words, if everything is received, in other words, machlokas is not. If you don't have machlokas, it doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. It means you're simply understanding, right? In other words, when the chachamim before the in other words, were they most of the time involved in learning out new halachos using the yud gimel midos shetor nedreshes ben? Of course not. That would be ridiculous. In other words, the most of the time, in other words, they would take a kit. In other words, cases might come before them, and then they have to judge using the prescriptive principles that they have. In other words, that's where you have to start using your inductive process, right? In other words, does this halacha apply to this case or not, right? But but when they're simply involved in Talmud Torah, they're simply clarifying and understanding the system which is agreed upon by everyone. In other words, if you wanted to study the Rambam, so the Rambam has no machlokas in it, right? So it doesn't hinder the process of study and clarification that there is no machlokas. It adds to it, in other words, because it's one unified. In other words, of course, you could have arguments in what the principle is, which might explain the halacha, but that won't change the halacha, right? In other words, that's not what changes the. In other words, it sort of is backwards. You can't say, in other words, if the halachos, in other words, if the prescriptive statements are the facts, right? And you induct principles from that, right? So you're not going to have machlokas, right? So that's because you know what the halacha is. In other words, you're just inducting principles from those known halachas. Of course, that's something you want to do. In other words, to gain your understanding. Whenever you want to understand a subject, you want to unify it more and more and see how really underlying all of these things as one unified system, which has one unified purpose, which was given by one, is one system of chachma. That's the process of understanding, right? But that won't lead to machlokas in practical halacha, right? What leads to machlokas in practical halacha is, of course, sometimes there might be a machlokas in application. In other words, which halacha do I apply? In other words, that's when you have a case in reality comes before you, and now you have to, what do you do, right? So sometimes, in other words, there could be differences, right? There could be which halacha should we apply here, right? But that's not the idea of machlokas. In other words, that's when the Beis Din has a case in front of it, and then they have to decide how to apply it. Of course, then there could be more than, in other words, that's where judgment is required. In other words, whenever judgment is required to judge a case which comes before you, then of course, then there could be machlokas. But when you're talking about the system of halachos itself, there, in other words, you're only going to have machlokas when you're talking about things which are not handed down as a tradition, right?
Right.
In other words, you have to separate out the different areas here. In other words, there's a difference between machlokas in what the halacha itself is, and what's not really called machlokas, but in other words, a sichas talmidei chachamim, in other words, an involvement in understanding what the deeper principles are, right? And of course, and then there's the third thing, which is the when you have a particular case that comes before you, and you have to judge what halacha to apply to the case, right? So that's when something comes before Beis Din. That's particular cases, not the general halachos, right? There's a difference between the general halachos, which and in general cases like that don't come up, because in general things follow. In other words, things you normally fit into are more clear cut. In other words, that's the majority of the time. In other words, in exceptional cases, then you have to come before Beis Din. They have to make a judgment. Right? In other words, they can engage in debate and come to a conclusion as to what halacha to apply in that case. But the halachos themselves, right? Maybe that's what the person was getting at. In other words, where you have the halachos in front of you. But machlokas has nothing to do with forgetting, or that's a totally separate realm, the realm of if something is forgotten, of course, then there'll have to be a debate to derive what the halacha is, right? In other words, there's a difference, or I guess to make it more precise, there's a difference in determining what the content of Torah Shebal Peh is, right? And then, right, there's the difference between that and judging particular cases where Beis Din has to make a decision, right, as to what halacha to apply to that case. In other words, that requires drisha and chakira, investigating what is the case, right, trying to clarifying precisely what the case is, and then engaging in a thoughtful debate as to what halacha to apply, in other words, how to apply the halacha to that case. Of course, there could be debate there as well, right? But in the realm of determining what is the substance, what is the content of Torah Shebal Peh,
what is the legal category itself?
Right, the halachos themselves.
Right.
Right, like you think of the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. In other words, that's the halachic system as a whole. Right, determine what gets in, what doesn't get in. There, there's a dimension. In other words, the ikarim, the roots of that system are all agreed upon 100%. And it was only in areas where there was some where there wasn't a received tradition, where there was a system in place of how to engage the Torah Shebichsav in order to derive what the halacha is, and there debate could come about, right? There you could have machlokas, right? But the Rambam, I think in the next page or very soon, goes into greater detail as to what precisely, in what areas there will be machlokas. I think it's important to distinguish between those two things. In other words, the content of Torah Shebal Peh, and then judging particular cases that come before you.
Right.
Right? In other words, if you read a Sefer of Halacha, it's not case law. In other words, they're not going to tell you the cases, they're discussing the principles, the halachos themselves, the prescriptions. Mm-hmm. Right? Of course, sometimes it gets mixed in, because they'll give you an example of a case that was decided upon, sometimes in the halacha itself. But the Rambam doesn't really engage in that. That you see more in the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes they'll tell you actual cases that they decide upon and how they decided it. They're basically trying to illustrate the principle and how they applied it to a particular case. But that doesn't mean that if you're a rav and a case comes before you and you have to give judgment, that you'll make the same judgment. And I mean, maybe if it's the exact same case and your judgment is, in other words, and you think that the person had the correct judgment based on how you understand the halachic system, then you might make the same decision. Or you might respect that person so much and you'll say, I think, and you... Right, you really are drawn to their method of thinking, right? So then you might decide the case like they do. In other words, the difference between a pot, somebody bringing a pot before you and asking you, is this pot kosher? I did this and this. and learning the halachos of basar b'chalav and taruvos.
Right.
In other words, when you're learning the halachos, you're not engaged in the cases. In other words, you might want to read that's what tshuvos are. In other words, shalos and tshuvos are actual cases that came before people, and they had to apply halachic judgments to those particular cases, and that's something that a rav who gives a ra will want to read in order, because it's basically practice. It's almost a form of what they call shimush. In other words, there's something called shimush where when a person is learning how to give halachic decisions, so they don't just, in other words, they might get smicha, but they don't necessarily immediately start giving halachic decisions. In other words, because there's a difference between understanding the halachic system in the abstract and then being able to apply that to particular cases. It's not always immediately apparent. In other words, it's a skill. In other words, you have to get used to it and get experience. So then normally what they'll do is they'll almost like an apprenticeship, they'll work with a more experienced rav, and if a shaila comes to them, they'll discuss it with their mentor, I guess, and they'll discuss like how do we make a judgment in this case. In other words, and you'll say your possibilities and say, oh, that's a good idea, but you didn't think of this halacha, right? You could apply it. In other words, because there's, depending on the area, because very often, like in the area of kashrus, you want to be able to matir. In other words, you don't want the guy to not be able to eat his food.
Right.
Right? So you want to find a way, how can we matir this person's food? You're seeking a heter, right? So you might not see the heter, right? In other words, because your experience of applying principles to cases, right?
Right.
So might not be so strong. Right, but that's there might be a debate. You could have a debate. In other words, I think you should apply it this way, right? I think I should apply it this way, but that's different than what is the substance of the halacha itself. In other words, what's the halachic system itself? There, right?
Right.
So you have those two areas have to be distinguished, right? Okay, so all right, so let's go on with the Rambam's discussion of halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Right, so the way he began his discussion of halacha l'moshe m'sinai was telling us what halacha l'moshe m'sinai is not. Right, so he says it's not the halachos that everybody agrees upon, which are received from Sinai. Right, in other words, that's Torah Shebal Peh. Right, where those are the roots of Torah Shebal Peh. Like that ayin ba'ayin, an eye for an eye, doesn't mean actually take the guy's eye out. If he pops somebody else's eye out, it means it's a monetary payment, right? So those are not, in other words, even though that's a mesorah from Sinai, it doesn't get the term halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Whereas you notice the Rambam is defining terms here. In other words, the terms are very important. In other words, every subject matter has terms. In other words, there's a difference between words and terms. Right? In other words, these words mean halacha l'moshe m'sinai. If you just translate those words, then yeah, of course, anything in our Mesorah would be called halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because it's halacha from Moshe from Sinai. Right? But that's not what the term means. In other words, the Mishnah, the Talmud, employs a certain kind of terminology. And in their terminology, halacha l'moshe m'sinai has a very specific usage, right? So the Rambam is trying to define our terms here, right? Very fundamental. Whenever you're, because this is a hakdama, or it's an introduction, we're entering into this subject matter, the terms have to be clear, right? In other words, it can't be in the realm of words anymore. That's for the common folk, right? Now we're talking about a specialized area of study. Now we have terminology, right? Like, the word mouse, right, if you're talking about computers, is not a mammal, right? So depending on the subject, in other words, it's a term. Mouse is a term, is terminology, right? So the Rambam is defining terminology as opposed to the words suggest one thing. But he's saying, nope, that's not what the term means, right? So that's what the Rambam is trying to do here. Okay, so now he's going to, now we're up to the paragraph where he explains what it is, right? He said what it's not, now he's going to say what it is, all right? So in Maya, so it's ulam im hayosa mekubal mimosha lo yomer ben halacha l'moshe m'sinai. He says, even though they're received from Moshe, we don't say that that's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. You guys see it? All right, I'll read mine, even though yours is a different text. Okay. So, ulam, however, imei yosem akubal memoshe, even though they're received from Moshe, lo yomer bohem halacha lemoshe mesinai. So we don't say that they're that it's a halacha lemoshe mesinai, just because it's received from Moshe. Lefishanu lo nomar priets hadar hu esrog halacha lemoshe mesinai. We don't say that the priets hadar is an esrog, is a halacha lemoshe mesinai. In other words, he's talking about the term. In other words, right? In other words, in terminology, we never say, we know it's an esrog, that's a halacha lemoshe mesinai. That's not how the word is used, that's how the term is used. We don't say a guy who injures his friend has to pay money, that's a halacha lemoshe mesinai. We already know that all the explanations are for Moshe. The Eish Lehem. Kemoshe Amarnu Hora B'Kasuv. And that we could see it indicated in the written Torah. O Yotziu Osamba Ofen Me Ofnei HaHekesh. Or you could learn it out in some way. Kemoshe Amarnu, like we said. V'cholim She'en Lo Hora B'Kasuv. So something that doesn't have any indication in the written Torah, right? So, oh, Yotzios, I just lost my right. The Ein Lo Semech and has nothing to. In other words, it's not what do you call it? It's not can't be tied to anything in the written Torah. V'ef Sharlo Ziyob Hekesh, and you can't. It's impossible to learn it out using one of the methods of derivation. B'zebel Vad Yomer Holachel Lemoshe Mesinai. That alone do we call halacha lemoshe mesinai. In other words, only something which cannot be seen in any way from a pasuk is a halacha lemoshe mesinai. Right? Wait,
so
what? Priets other? Right. Yeah, that we can see in the pasuk. In other words, there. Number one, the pasuk is telling us that it is something. In other words, is priets hadar. So it doesn't say esrog, but it says priets hadar. That indicates some sort of vegetation. Right. So, and also we see that the Chachmei Talmud, they work out different ways to see that in the pasuk itself. They try to see how the pasuk indicates that idea. Right. And also, it's immediately. In other words, the Torah is immediately commanding us, saying that you have to have a pre-Eitz Hadar. Okay, I have to find a pre-Eitz Hadar. Ah, so we only know how to find a pre-Eitz Hadar because of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right. So he gives us an example. So he says, "Ulefikach kasher amarnu." So when we say "sheurin halacha lemoshe mesinai," that "sheurin," in other words, the measures of things. In other words, any place where it gives us a specific halachic measurement, halacha lemoshe mesinai. Hikshenu al zevo amarnu. So there was they raise a difficulty on this, right? So, and we say. So how could we say that it's a? In other words, he's quoting from a Gemara from Erevin Daf Dalet Amud Aleph according to the note here. So he says so right. So they ask there. They say Shir and Alach Moshe Mesinai. Whenever it gives a Shir, that's Alach Moshe Mesinai. So they ask the question: how can you say it's Alach Moshe Mesinai? V'halo Hashir and Yesh Lehem Horab B'Pasuk. Or is what's their question? Say, wait a second. How do you see it's halacha lemoshe mesinai? It's indicated in a pasuk, right? So you see from their difficulty, we could see what the definition of the term is. The fact that was their difficulty. How can you call halacha lemoshe mesinai? It's in a pasuk, right? So that in other words, that's right. That's one of the Rambam's proof of what halacha lemoshe mesinai is. So v'yishlamar b'amro eretz chito seora. In other words, there's a pasuk. So then they learn out from this, and it seems that from this pasuk and dvarim that we know certain halachic measurements. All right. So in other words, chule etc. The Gemara goes on. Vayasa tshuva b'zeh. So what's their answer in that Gemara? Shem halacha lemoshe mesinai. That they are halacha lemoshe mesinai. Dein lahem ikir sheyutzu mimenu abehekesh. There's no way to really learn it out from the pasuk. And there's nothing that really indicates them in the entire Torah. So then, of course, what's the pasuk eretz chito seora? V'omnam husmechu l'zeh pasuk k'ein siman. They just rested upon this pasuk as a memory device. They just did it purely to help you memorize it. In other words, they picked the pasuk, which they thought would be useful to help you remember. K'teishi shamru v'zachru, so they would be kept and remembered. V'lo yazeb mikavanas akasav. They're not saying that the pasuk indicates that in any way, right? That's not what the pasuk means, right? Or it's, we also see from here that there would sometimes people think that when you're doing, when they are involved in using the Yud Gimel Midos, in other words, when they're involved in trying to learn something out from a pasuk, so they think sometimes it's just sort of like playing with words, and that the pasuk doesn't actually indicate that, but it's like sort of like a game that the rabbis know how to play with a pasuk, and they play it, and then they work out, and they're like, I say from this word, you say from that word, and then they throw words back and forth, and they say, well, I don't play that way, and it sort of goes back and forth until they settle on something, right? Or they disagree on something. But you see from here, in other words, even a hekesh, it means in some way, in other words, you're not going to learn out halakos about Kriya Shema from the Parsha, which is dealing with the Paraduma, right? In other words, they're still, in other words, there's a, we've lost the system of how to do it somewhat. In other words, how exactly do these Yud Gimel Midos work? How do we apply them? Right? But clearly, in other words, it has something to do with the meaning of the pasuk. It's not just sort of a random game that they play. Right? So he's saying, but in the case of Shiurin, in other words, measurements, even though they connect that to the pasuk of Eretz Chitos Ora, that's not what that pasuk means in any shape or form. Right? Mm-hmm. It would be like, right? Okay. So, v'zeu inyan amram kras machta ba'alma. So when the Gemara says something like, the pasuk is just merely a memory device or something to rest it upon, so that's what they mean. B'chol makom she'zucharuhu. Whenever they say that. In other words, that's what an asmachta ba'alma is. You'll see that sometimes in the Gemara. That's what it means. It's an asmachta ba'alma. It's just a memory device.
That's what they
Right. So they used the Eretz Chitos Ora in order to remember the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. In other words, there's a massive amount of material. In other words, an intelligent person will seek strategies of how to memorize things, right? So they use this pasuk, Eretz Chitos Ora. In other words, very often you see that in the Gemara. They'll discuss, in other words, methods of remembering things. In other words, because that's part of the learning of the system, is there's many things that have to be memorized. That's just... Right, especially when it wasn't written down. Of course, they could write notes for themselves, but the notes, you can't always carry your notebook around with you. If you want to know, if you want to be able to know what to do in certain cases, you just have to know it in your memory. Right? In other words, and also having it in your memory is a great facilitator of thought. In other words, if it's not very, in other words, when you're able to see it in your memory. In other words, it becomes much easier to engage in thought about that as opposed to just looking at it on a page. In other words, when you have it as a possession in your memory, in other words, I've never seen anyone who disagrees with that idea, right? But it was much more common practice in the classical method of education, right? It's sort of been lost in modern society.
They weren't just arbitrary. So that helped them. Like when
they would pick a pusik that would be useful to memorization.
They made up, parentheses, exponents. They made up a thing.
Right. In other words, you don't want to tie it. You want to tie it to something that's somewhat related. I mean, that's a memory strategy, right? But they're not claiming that that's what the pusik means, right?
It's not the parish of the pusik.
Right. It's not the parish of the pusik. Right. Like, you're not going to find, if you read like Rashi and Chumash, you're not going to find Rashi bringing down Perushim where the Perush was just using the Pasuk as an asmachta, as a memory device, because that has nothing really to do with understanding the Pasuk. And if Rashi did do such a thing, that should make a person question and say, why is Rashi bringing down something? And you'll probably realize that it's not just an asmachta, it teaches you something about the Pasuk, right? But in other words, an asmachta is not connected to the meaning of the pasuk in any way, right? Maybe in a way that's useful to memory, but not in the way that actually is talking about content and meaning, right? So that's what a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is. In other words, that's the definition. In other words, there are certain things in Torah Shebal Peh that itself is interesting. that there are things in Torah Shebaal Peh which are not direct perushim of Torah Shebichsav, but they're sort of like, in other words, certain axiomatic things. In other words, these are things that we know. In other words, these are facts that we know that we've received as a tradition from Sinai. In other words, it's a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. In other words, we only know it because of Sinai. In other words, we can't see this in the pasuk in any way, shape, or form. We only know this because of Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, it's almost pure Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? So, okay. What? You have the commandment? Right, in other words, this will be important in the mitzvah. So in other words, sometimes in a mitzvah, in other words, if I have to eat matzah, I have to know how much. So I have to have a shear, quantity. Right? So the quantities, in other words, these are certain halachic, certain halachos that the psukim do not teach us in any way, shape, or form. Or is it, if you look at the list, so the very next thing is the Rambam says, so now I'm going to tell you all the halacha the things which are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, halachos or dinim which are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and maybe it's all of them, right? So this should be a pretty exhaustive list. You notice it's not that many. It's only a paragraph, right? So he says, and it will be clear to you the truth of what I mentioned to you. None of them are learned out from a pasuk. And you can only connect to a pasuk in a way that's just using as a mnemonic device. As we explained. They never discuss these things, or debate these things. They never bring a proof to them. They're received from Moshe, like God commanded about them. And he gives a list. So first there are things which are quantities of things for different karbanos, like a half a loaf shemen for the toda and a revi'a shemen nazir v'acharas, and then a quantity between one nida and another nida. Good and loved, those are principles that are used by mechitzos and sukkah, v'dofen akuma, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, sheyurin, chatzitzin, mechitzin, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, right? Rava v'nisoch amayim, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that's something you do on sukkahs.
He's just
telling you what they are. This is tefillin al klaf, mezuzah al duchsastus, right? In other words, what material you write your tefillin on, mezuzah on, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And that Sifrei Torah is on Gvil, another kind of parchment. That's Halacha L'moshe m'Sinai. Shin Shel Tefillin, V'Keshur Shel Tefillin, Ratzuos Shel Choros, Tefillin Merubaos, Ma'abarta Tefillin. There's lots of stuff about Tefillin. That's Halacha L'moshe m'Sinai. Nechrochos B'Saran, Esparas B'Gidan, Halacha L'moshe m'Sinai. More stuff about Tefillin, stuff about Sefer Torah. Then he goes on and on. Right, so bechusa mebas shaloshonim ein biyasa bia, things that have to do with the rayos, one halacha. Right, in other words, he goes basically a big bulk of them are about tefillin. If you notice, so, then he goes to different agricultural laws, things that have to do with tumantara. Okay, something to do with it, stuff that has to do with Shabbos. Let's see. Yeah. So those are the basic. Right. In other words, if you look through them, you'll see basically what they. You'll see it's not that many. Right. And he says, and he'll explain them in his parish on the Mishnah. Right. Yeah.
So
why can this be part of the? I mean, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is learned out from Psukim.
In the sense of the Torah Shebaal Peh, we have...
What is part of Torah Shebaal Peh?
Right, this is Torah, because it's helping you explaining how to...
Right,
the mitzvah.
That's unique because it has no connection to Torah Shebaal Peh.
Right, because no connection to Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, like, I just noticed that the... Like, this is has a different... In the sense of it is, it's part of the... It's part of explaining how to perform all three mitzvahs, but you can't learn it from these things.
Right.
And so it's just, it's given.
Right, they're sort of like axioms, like facts. In other words, this is the case. In other words, this is the halacha. Right? In other words, Sefer Torah is written on this type of parchment, and this is written on this, and this is, right? In other words, it's interesting that there is such a thing, right? So, right, but that's all a topic. I think Rabbi Chait explains that on his in his Shiurim on Masorah that he gave a number of years ago, right? So since it's an entire Shavuos Shiur, I think I'll leave that to those tapes that interested in that topic. So could listen to those tapes, right? Why should I repeat it? It's already been right. It's been discussed. So right. So that I think has a right discussion of the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. But I think right. Okay. Right. I mean, it's certainly
still all about explaining what to do the law.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Still explaining about how to fulfill these commandments.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So the question is why is there such a thing in this system? Right, that's an interesting question, right? Which I'm not going to attempt to answer, right? Okay, so I don't have to answer everything, right? Okay, so let's go on. So he says, all right. So now he basically set up this principle that, in other words, what are the basic principles he set up? In other words, that's what is the halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim, right? That right. Okay. So then he says like this. He says, "Nechalakim adinim afukukim b'Torah l'chamisha chalakim." Right. So now he divides all of the halachas of the Torah, right, into five categories. Right. So and we'll notice in these categories. We'll discuss after we go through the categories what the words. There's different ways of dividing things depending on what you're, in other words, depending on what you're trying to distinguish out about the subject. And of course, you can imagine, depending on what you're trying to distinguish about the Torah Shebaal Peh, there are going to be different ways to divide it. In other words, like the Mishnah Torah is divided into 14 books, right? So now the Rambam is saying that the halachos of the Torah can divide into five types, right? So we're going to see the types that he gives. Okay. All right, so let's say, so you so he says, "Haperusha mamekubala mimoshe." So these are the perushim that are received from Moshe, that are indicated in the pasuk. Oh, efshar lo tziyam behekesh, or you could learn it out with one of the those rules of derivation. Veilu ein bayam machlokus leolam, and there's never a machlokus about them. So ela kasher yomar adam kibalti kach v'kach. So once the guy says, "I received this as a tradition," mestale kavikuach. So the debate immediately ends, right? So he says, so that's the first thing, right? So the perushim that are received from Moshe, which can be seen in the pasuk, right? Either directly seen in the pasuk, or you can see it emerging from the pasuk, like in the case of esrog. You can't immediately see that pre-etzadar as an esrog. But using the rules of derivation, so you could see that it's an esrog, right? So, or sometimes it directly indicates the thing, right? So, okay. So, all right. So that's the first type. That's the first chelak. Okay. So a chelak hasheni. The second one is hemadinim asher nemar bem shem halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. So those are things which are halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, which you just explained. The ein raya aleihem kamosha zacharnu veilu gam kein mimash shein by machlokas. So these are right. So halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, there is no indication of it in a pasuk at all. But what do they have in common with the first chelak? No machlokas, right? So you could see so far we could see in the way the Rambam is dividing it. What's significant in his division? What the connection of that halacha is to Torah Shebichsav, and whether or not there is machlokes in that area, right? In other words, those are, I think, going to be the sort of the pillars around which he will divide up these categories. Is there machlokes, and is it indicated in a pasuk, right? All right. So
those are the two extremes.
What?
those were two extremes.
Which
you're
one?
Saying that there's two ways that you can divide each category.
In other words, those are sort. In other words, it could be from a pasuk or it could not be a pasuk. It could be machlokas or not machlokas.
Right. I'm saying there's five categories. And you're saying that the first two that he gave, those are the.
Well, they're both. There's no machlokas, but one is indicated in the pasuk and one is not.
Okay.
In other words, that's how they're distinguished. They're not distinguished in terms of there's no machlokas because they're both traditions directly from Sinai. They're mekubal, but one is no machlokas. One is machlokas, right? So right. Okay. So okay, the third category. So those are halachos that we only know from, in other words, from the methods of derivation. The tipo bahama machlokas. So and there can be machlokas. And there's those because he said it's not a received tradition. Kamosha zacharnu, as we mentioned, the pasuk bahem kedasarov, and we decide like the majority in those areas. Like we established. That's only when people are not, in other words, based on theoretical considerations, they're not sure. In other words, it requires judgment, to go one way or the other. So, lefikach yomrus, therefore they say, im halacha nekabel, if it's the halacha, we'll accept it. In other words, if you received it as a, right? Vim ladin yesh teshuva, right? So, right, basically, if it's a tradition, we'll accept it, and if not, then we could discuss. Okay. V'umnam yipalu amachlokas vavikuach bima shelo nishme'a bo kabbalah. So we could have machlokas and debates, but something that was not heard in the kabbalah, in the tradition. V'timtzeim b'chol talmud. So you find it out throughout the Talmud. Yachkru al darchei ahekesh sher b'sibasam nafla machlokas ben achokim. Right, so they'll, using these methods of derivation, there'll be machlokas between different parties. V'yomer b'may kamiflegi, and they'll say, what are they arguing about? Oh, my ta'amei de Rebbe Ploni. What's this guy's reason? Oh, my beinehu. Or what's between them? In other words, what are they, right? And they'll explain. In other words, they explain the reason behind the machlokas. In other words, because machlokas is always a question of reasoning, right? In other words, how do we apply reason to this area? Whereas machlokas is not. In other words, this is where one of the yesodos of brisk comes from. Can't have a machlokas in mitzias, right? In other words, machlokas can't be about what's the fact. Right. In other words, if they're not sure about the facts, they're going to do some sort of investigation together. Right. It's only, in other words, when it's a question of application of reason, there can be debate. Right. So, but it's right. Okay. In other words, that's why the Rambam is giving all these examples from the Talmud. They say, "B'may kamifl." In other words, he's showing you it's a question of application of reason. So, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Any
proper learning.
How could you learn? You couldn't learn otherwise.
No, when I say it's one of the yesodos of brisk, I don't mean that it's not other people who learn yesodos too. Anybody who's learning intelligently, anybody's learning, or it has to have this principle.
They couldn't be learning that where you're learning that the two sides.
Right. I mean, it's not uniquely brisks.
Unless,
I mean.
Right.
Right, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I was...
Unless you say that they're completely arbitrary and there's disagreeing arbitrary points.
Right.
That's not what they're doing.
Right, that's also an impossibility.
Different view of what the system is.
Right. I think what Brisk has done, though, has, in other words, they appreciate this principle clearly and they make a very strong attempt to apply it and guard themselves that, in other words, there are times where you don't realize that you're turning the machlokas into a machlokas over facts, when really it's a theoretical debate. In other words, putting it in its proper frame, and being very careful to maintain that frame. That's something which Brisk has done in a very right is very strong. Right, is very strong in that area. Right, realizing that you can't have such a machlokas. In other words, Right? In other words, that's what that idea of, you can't have a machlokas of metzias, is pointed to. The idea of the Rambam. In other words, machlokas in the Talmud is a question of application of reason. But, the Rambam is not just giving us a strategy of winning a debate in Beis Medrash. In other words, the Rambam is saying, this is a fundamental in understanding our Mesorah. Right? In other words, you have to understand that our Mesorah, in other words, what's the first thing? You have to understand, where does machlokas arise? In other words, there's something called the roots of our Mesorah, where there is no machlokas. That's a received tradition. There can never be a machlokas in that domain. And then there's machlokas. In other words, that's an area. In other words, where do you have machlokas? In areas where they're not sure what the halacha is, and they have to, because they don't have a received tradition on it, and then they have to engage in using the Yud Gimel Mido, Shatar Nedresh Ben, to be able to learn out these psukim. In other words, and try to note and try to work out what the halacha is. Right? Right. That's fundamental. Right? That's fundamental to understanding the nature of our Mesorah. Right?
That applies also to the specifics as well, not just the general 600, not just the general commandments.
What do you mean?
Like the 13 principles, like those things are not just for, like that's not for the general, like general 600.
Right, any detail.
Anything.
Right, well in general, they're only going to be using those in details. In other words, you're never going to see a debate over, like the Rambam says, what's an esrog, right? They might engage in a debate over what's the best way to see that emerge from the pasuk, but they all agree on the fact that that priyetz hadar is an esrog, right? So, in other words, you're not going to have machlokas in the fundamental. Everybody agrees you have to say kriyat shema in the evening and the morning. You'll have a machlokas about precisely when does that the evening kriyat shema start, and precisely when does it end. Precisely when does the morning kriyat shema start? Precisely when does it end? Not is there a kriyat shema in the evening and in the morning?
Is there a kriyat shema?
But there's no debate over do you say it twice, right? In other words, there's no such debate, right? So that is a given, right? There are certain things that everyone agrees upon. In other words, people stress too often because Talmud is the core of the curriculum. So what happens is all they stress is machlokas, and they forget that that's not the core of the system. In other words, if you look at the Talmud with different eyes, from a different perspective, you see the majority of things they really do agree upon. In other words, the fact that the debate starts at a certain point. In other words, there are certain things that they already agree upon. And then they enter into a debate. You have to agree at least on a few things before you have a debate, right? So, otherwise, how can you know, otherwise a debate can never start. In other words, you have certain things which we know, and then you have to determine, right? In other words, work out a detail, right? So we have to work out this detail. So we might have to look to the psukim and learn out a new halacha, but that's going to be rare, right? Much of what we see in the Talmud, many things in the Talmud, in other words, we're seeing in the Talmud many of the rare cases, right? In other words, it's just a lot of things which really happen rarely. Whereas the Talmud is a record of debates that occurred over hundreds of years, and that has to be remembered as well. And they had no Sanhedrin, so they couldn't come to a consensus. That's why there was machlokas, or so you know. So that's why we have so much machlokas recorded, right? So we discussed the previous time, though, how, in other words, they do seem to have rules of how to work it out, right? But that's a question of agreements. That's like the Rambam talks about the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, right? So I think we discussed that last time or the time before. Okay. Right. Okay. So that's the Rambam's first point. The machlokas is about application of reason to right. So then there could be a debate. Okay. So then he goes on. He says, "Aval machsheves mishechoshev shadina meshenechleku behem him gamkein mekubal mimoshe." So if somebody thinks that the laws that they have a machlokas about are received from Moshe, V'omnam nofla machlokas miderech hatos b'shmuos or shicha, and machlokas machlokas came about because of mistakes and forgetfulness. V'she'echad kibel emes, and one guy received the truth. V'he'acher toa b'kabalaso, and the other guy made a mistake in his tradition. In other words, they both have tradition, and one guy's right, one guy's wrong. O shachach, or he forgot. O shlo shama me'rabo kol ma shetzarech lishmoa, or he didn't hear everything he should have from his rebbe. V'yavi ra'yal zeh me'amram, and they bring a proof from this, right? They bring a proof for this for this idea, because it says misharabu talmidei shamei v'hillel, when the students of shamei and hillel increased. Shelo shimshu kol tzarkan, people translate it, they didn't study enough, right? So rabsa machlokas b'Yisrael, so there was, the machlokas increased in Israel. V'nesas Torah k'shtei Toros, the Torah is made like two Toros. So it sounds like, because they didn't study properly, that's why we had machlokas. Sounds like they forgot stuff, they made mistakes, right? Hine zeh, this, Hashem Ayodeya, God knows, min ha-ma'amarim ha-mechowarim v'ha-megunim mod. This is something which is disgusting, and it's the disgusting thing. V'heim divrei mishayinu masig. So these are the words somebody doesn't understand. D'eino medakdeg bikarim, and is not careful about basic principles. And they're attributing false things, libelous type of things, against people who they received the Torah from. This is all null. So what caused this false belief? Is there limited understanding of the chachamim, of the words of the chachamim that are in the Talmud? Lefishe matzu ki ha-perish mekubal mimoshe, v'ze nachon k'moshi osanu. Because they saw that the perish is something that, in other words, the oral law is received from Moshe, and that's true, like we established. V'lo yivdilu bein ha-ikarim ha-mekubalim, v'atolados ha-mutsaos. They didn't distinguish between the roots which are received and the derivatives, in other words, the secondary things that are learned out. Avalata, in other words, things that are received, and then the toledos, things that you have to derive, which you don't have a tradition for. In other words, they didn't distinguish between things you know from tradition, or it's the ikarim, and the things that you have to learn out from the pasuk. Right, they didn't distinguish between those two things. Right, in other words, that was clearly what the Rambam was going to great efforts to distinguish between. Right, that which is received and that which is not. Right, there's two things. Well, ata, but you im tsupak b'davar lo tsupak shemachlokas beishamay beishilol b'amram. Right, so don't think. So don't make a mistake. So he gives us an example. So like Beishamay and Beisilal arguing. So they say Mechabdim Esabaya Svachakach Notlin Liyadayim. Oh, Notlin Liyadayim Vachakach Mechabdim Esabaya. So they have a machlokas about the order of the order of things. Right? So one says this order, one says that order. Ein Echad Mishneya Ma'amarim Mekubal Mimoshe. So neither of these things are received from Moshe. Velo Shema'o Misinai. They didn't hear this from Sinai. Elasibas Machloktam Masha Zachar. The reason for the machlokas is what we mentioned. Sha'echad me'am oser ha-shimash b'am ha'aretz. Because that one, in other words, now he gives the reason of the machlokas. One says you're not allowed to use a am ha'aretz. V'acher matir zeh. And the other guy permits it, right? So, right now it's not worth our time to go through the exact machlokas. It's just giving us an example where there's a debate. And there's a cause for the machlokas. One guy is oser, one guy is not. It's a machlokas on whether or not they should oser something. V'chein kol adom el ilu ha-machlokos, shurhim anfei anfei ha-anafim. And similar, any machlokas, which are the branches of the branches of the branches. In other words, now he's making a point which he didn't really make before. Because there before he didn't really In other words, you just said some things are argued about because they have to learn it out, and some things are not the Ikarim, right? So there is certain things are received traditions, but here he's pointing out also another distinction, which is that we're talking about the difference between the roots of the system and the branches of the branches of the branches of the system, where machlokas comes in. The Ikarim, you're not going to find machlokas. Right, the roots of the system, you're not going to find machlokas. Only in the details of the details of the details will you find that there's debate. And if you find a debate, which doesn't seem to be the anfei hanafim, the branches of the branches of the branches, so either you found one of the few cases, which is not the branches of the branches of the branches, or you misunderstood the case, and you didn't realize really this is the anfei anfei anafim, and you mistook it for a nikar, right, from the roots of the system. But you could also see that that would be important in the study of Talmud itself, distinguishing what are ikarim, what are the roots of the system, and what are the anfei anafim, or at least what are the anafim, right? So which is something that people almost never engage in their study of Talmud. And really, the Mishneh Torah is really the solution for that problem. In other words, putting things in the proper, whereas the Perush Mishnayos was the first sort of knock at that, or it's by giving us general rules and giving us pointing at the. But the Rambam went even further and presented the entire system to us in a right systematically laid out on the table for us, right? So that's and from there we could say what are the, in other words, if we want, I'm saying as a practical thing, in other words, if you're learning Talmud and you want to know, and you don't want to have to do all the work yourself, right? In other words, there's no reason to do all the work yourself. So, and you want to see, is this the roots of the system or are these branches? So you go to the Mishneh Torah and you see, where is this halacha in the Mishneh Torah, right? And then, and as you gain facility with the Mishneh Torah, so it become a more or less useful tool in that endeavor. But that's how to keep things in. In other words, that would be my suggestion. How do you keep things in perspective? In other words, what are the branches and what are the roots? Right?
How would you be able to distinguish this?
That would require a discussion of the way the Rambam sets up the Mishneh Torah. But you can certainly see if it's if the Rambam says. And v'zeh mitzvah saseh, right? This is a positive commandment. You know that that's an ikar, that's a root, right? If it's a detailed case, like, and what happens if you're in this situation? In other words, if you're going to specific cases, and very often the way the Rambam does this is very often the roots are positioned towards the beginning of a section. And the anafim are later on. In other words, he follows a completely logical order, right? He follows a totally logical order. In other words, and first presents the roots, and then later the branches. Not to say that sometimes you can't gain insight into what the roots are from things that he mentions later on. Very often, from things that he'll say much later in the sefer, you could derive you could see or gain more clarity as to what the roots are. But also the Rambam starts the Mishneh Torah with Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the roots of the, in other words, the foundations of the Torah. And he'll tell you, this is an Ikar. Right? He'll say, sometimes tell you, this is an Ikar. So very often many of the root principles of halakha that you'll see much later on in the Mishneh Torah, you can go, if you go back to the Yesodei HaTorah and Sefer Amada, you can very often see that those are really the root principles of those halachos. And very often the Rambam will even point to this by using similar expressions and terms, right? Where he begins to sort of connect things, and you can see, like he'll say. Like, I'll give you an example where it's a connection where you sort of see what the Rambam is doing. Like it says, by mezuzah, when you encounter the mezuzah, you wake up from your sleep and you remember, right? So he used the same expression when he talks about what the idea of shofar is, right? When he says, "And the shofar, what does it do? It wakes you up from your sleep, and you remember," right? In other words, he used the same lashon. So it's not just he's pointing that there's a common principle which is joining, both of these things are pointing towards. In other words, which helps you understand, gain a deeper understanding of the nature of the mitzvah, or the root principles of the mitzvah, the deeper ideas. But and you can see just from by studying the Mishneh Torah, you gain experience as to what are the roots and what are the anfei hanafim. In other words, requires a certain amount of experience of learning the Mishneh Torah. But that's a good way to sort of keep your head on your shoulders when you're learning Talmud and not get lost, right? So it's a difficult, right? It's the Yama Talmud. You get totally lost. But to keep that context of what are the Karim, what are the Anafim, that there's no one greater than the Rambam to help in that pursuit. What?
You can go back and forth.
What do you mean? Right. I mean, that's the beauty of the Rambam. In other words, it's a very, very, it can be used as a powerful tool, right? So it can be used as a very powerful tool in studying Talmud, right? So certainly to not use it when you're studying Talmud would be nonsensical. In other words, would you not use your eyes if you're reading, right? I mean, you should use those tools which are appropriate for the activity that you're engaged in, right? So are you not going to use a hammer if you're building a house? You know, I mean, it's a basic thing. In other words, there's no question that it's a must, right? Will you be able to see the Taryag Mitzvahs just by reading the Tarsha B'Chsav? Without Tarsha Baal Peh, you won't be able to. Right. Right. You'll only be able to do that with Tarsha. Because very often you won't know what seems to be the mitzvah from Tarsha B'Chsav might not be the mitzvah once you understand from Tarsha Baal Peh. Of course, you could always go back and then see how the Tarsha B'Chsav was indicating that. But it's something that you would never be able to accomplish just on your own, you'd never be able to accomplish that on your own. So, but like the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos, so there, for every mitzvah, he shows you what pasuk it could be seen from, and he gives you the source from Tarsha Baal Peh, for which we know that that's the mitzvah. Right? In other words, he proves each one, tells you what the pasuk is, but he also tells you where, in other words, because you can't, mitzvos are known from the Masorah. So the Rambam is showing you, how do we know what the mitzvah is from our Masorah? The Rambam is not just working it out using his own, using his own mind. In other words, of course, he's using his mind, but in other words, it's Torah Shebal Peh, it's a Masorah. In other words, he's simply telling you, this is what the Masorah says is the mitzvah, right? So, but of course, in other words, but you have to start with what the mitzvah is, and then you could discuss the halachos of the mitzvah. In other words, that's another important thing to do, which is forgotten in the study of Talmud, but by using the Rambam, you could solve. In other words, a forgetting of what mitzvah are we talking about? Or are we even talking about a mitzvah? In other words, a mitzvah midoraisa. This might be a derabanan. This might be a gezerah. In other words, what is a gezerah? What is a tikkana? Right? So those are all essentials that you have. In other words, otherwise, what are you studying when you're learning the Talmud, right? Or if somebody asks you, what are you learning, right? Well, it should be something that's connected to Taryag Mitzvos, I'm not learning one Taryag Mitzvos, I'm learning a mitzvah midirabanan. I'm learning about the Hilchos of Megillah. Well, what are you studying? Well, you have to know what the subject is, you have to have a mitzvah, you have to have a tikkana or a gezerah that gives you that tells you what subject you're in. Right. Otherwise, you're just learning details, which are, what's the purpose of that? Right. So then you're not learning a subject matter anymore. You're just studying details of something of, I don't know, Right? What are you studying? Well, I'm studying details of what? There's details have to be of a something, otherwise, what are you studying? Right? So that's important. Okay, we better stop here.